Well, I have the awesome privilege of welcoming and introducing to you Pat and Jim Banks. I was radically altered. My life completely changed when they came and did an inner healing roundtable in Abilene because they brought so many different teachings in inner healing. I'm a counselor by trade. And so to be able to incorporate kingdom principles and to be able to incorporate inner healing models and streams has just been something that has been a joy to be able to do that. And so it's because of them and what they brought and bringing in all of that teaching and then just even personal ministry to me as well and to my husband over the years. I was even trying to think how long ago it was, but it's been a while. So I don't want to say too much, but I just wanted to say thank you, if I can say it without crying. Thank you, Pat and Jim, for everything that you do and for how you sow and sow and sow and pour yourself out. Thank you. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are radically healed and touched by your ministry. And so I just want to thank you for that. And you guys are in for a huge treat. So will you join me in standing and honoring Pat and Jim Banks as they come forward?
Well, I'm half of it anyway. Hi. How are you? Are you? You ready to have fun? Yeah. You know, we come, I find myself wanting to say, like Paul, we don't come with fancy speech. We don't come with degrees and all the stuff behind our names and all that. We just come with, as they sang tonight, we just want to come with a simple gospel. Okay? We're going to bring this weekend the simple gospel, because I think the reason many of us are in the shape that we're in, is because we have forgotten the simple gospel. Let me tell you what the simple gospel is not. The simple gospel is not a ticket out of hell. I mean, that's good news, right? We're all thankful for that. But that's not really the simple gospel. We came with a plan for the weekend, and it's not going to happen. Yeah, that's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. For you, I'm not so sure it's good for us, because we get to figure out what to say now, right? So I'm going to just tell you a little bit about us and why we do what we do and why we want to bring that to you. Is that fair enough? Yeah. We were married 36 years ago in Houston, Texas, by the way. We quickly left 9 days after that singing the song, "All My Exes Live in Texas." Right? Yeah, y'all know that song? Uh-huh. And we were very thankful that we left them all behind, because that was God's plan for us. Yes. So, and I won't go into that, but we were very thankful to leave. At that point in time, we moved to Indianapolis, and Jim was just kind of coming back to the Lord, and I had been walking with the Lord and been in some ministry. Actually, was here in San Antonio with Jack Taylor at his church when I was singing with a singing group back in the early 70s. So Papa Jack has been a dear friend of ours for a long time, and I tell you what, you do not want to miss it. You know, when you have a chance to hear a father in the faith, I mean, a real father in the faith and the impartation that comes from that, you should do everything you can to be under them, just to receive the richness of men and women who have had longevity with the Lord. There's something to be said for longevity with the Lord. Okay? And Jim's actually going to be talking about that on Sunday morning, the longevity of the Lord. We have a, you know, we're a society of instantaneous everything, and also short-lived everything, right? From relationships to the food we eat. Everything's short-lived. But the Father's into longevity. So I would encourage you to come to that. Anyway, we were at a little church in Indianapolis, and because we were the oldest of the young couples, they asked us to lead the young couples group. So we had these young couples come to our home every Friday night for a couple of years. And we would worship, we would have Bible study, we would do all the things that you do when you're Christian and you're having a small group, right? You know, you worship, you pray, you Bible study, and you eat. And sometimes you do more of one than the other, and you know which that is. Yes. But here was the difficulty with that. After a while, we began to see that these young people were going through the same things over and over and over. Have any of you ever done that? I have. You know, it's like, dear Jesus, I thought I was saved, but there were times I thought I lived worse after I was saved than I did before I was saved. Yeah, right? You know, and it's looking at yourself going, what a sham. And so we began to look at this, and here was all we knew. This doesn't look like victorious life. It doesn't look like Jesus. And somehow, every time we read the word, we realized we were supposed to be becoming like Jesus. Did you know that Jesus didn't sit around and strum a guitar and have his fellowship and do a little Bible study and pray and eat? He did. But when he did it, lives were changed. Right? Yeah. So we began to cry out to the Lord. We just, you know, Lord, what is this? What do we do? We don't want to do this for the rest of our lives, especially when we were in a place that we had one of our young couples, one of the young men, had a major demonic man. Now, okay, I'm going to give you the background. We were in a Southern Baptist church in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's about as far north as you could go with a Southern Baptist church, okay? We were raised Southern Baptist. My dad was a Baptist pastor. Demons did not exist. They didn't. They were out there somewhere, but they were not in the church. Right? Everybody know that? Yeah, that right? You all believe that? Hang around the church a little while and you will not believe that. Okay, so that was our background. And we weren't angry. We weren't taught negatively. That was just kind of where we came from until one of the young men had a major demonic manifestation with his wife, and she calls us in the middle of the night saying, he tried to strangle me in the middle of the night and rip the door off, and we're like, really? Wow, wasn't that interesting? And so when she came to the house, right, we had her come over. And the next day, Jim went out to the little Baptist bookstore that was out there and was kind of, you know, looking through to see if he could find anything. And the guy asked him what he was looking for, and he told him, and he went, come with me. He took him around behind the curtain. I promise you it's true. To find every book on demons that he had. So Jim walked out with a whole armload of books, right? And he comes home and he gives some to her, some to me, some to us, and we started reading. He said, all I know is let's read and see what we can figure out. All right. That was our introduction into the fact that maybe there was brokenness in the body of Christ. Maybe you could love Jesus, you could pray, you could worship, you could witness, you could even tithe and still have brokenness. So we were listening to actually a man on the radio, a radio preacher who did inner healing on the radio. Now, we didn't know that was what it was. All we knew is that he would get a word of knowledge for somebody, and he would pray for them, and God would heal them. So one morning, I was listening to him, and he said, was talking about that after the break, we're going to pray for someone who really has a fear over something. I don't even know what it was, but I knew it was me. And I was like, okay. He said, so after the break, you're going to put your hand on the radio and kneel down, and I'm going to pray for you. And I'm thinking, I am not. I I am not putting my hand on the radio and kneeling. I mean, seriously, come on. But here's what I did. I went around and I shut all the blinds in the bedroom. Because we had a tri-level, and I was down here, and the neighbors were up there. So I closed all the blinds and made sure nobody could see in. And I obediently went over, got on my knees, put my hands on the radio. He came back, and he prayed. And when he did, something inside of me went, bam. I was like, whoa. And God freed me from a fear I had for years. And I was like, wow, what was that? Okay? It was real. And something happened inside of me. So we listened to him for a long time, and we said to the Lord, you know, if you'll teach us how to heal the brokenhearted, we'll give our lives to it. We thought, send us out on a little weekend conference, and we'll have all we need to stay here in the little church and help these people. Okay? I mean, I'm playing with you, but this was really true. This is exactly how it happened. We were so ignorant. All we knew was there were people with broken hearts, and we didn't know what to do for them. And we had enough wisdom to know we didn't know what to do with them. Because, you know, when you're hurting and someone walks up to you and go, oh, honey, just trust Jesus. You need to pray more. Let me just pray for you. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Yeah, you want to hit them. That's what she went. You do. Why? Because we hadn't. Oh, really? I hadn't thought of that. Novel. I'm going to pray. Okay. Yeah. We've thought of that. We've had hands laid on us. We've repented. We've repented so many times that we don't know how to repent without repenting. We're repenting for the repenting because it's all we've been told to do. Repent. Forgive. Repent. Forgive. Repent. Forgive. And we get up and our heart still hurts. It does. That's reality, guys. That's the body of Christ, full of hurting, broken, pain-filled people who want to love Jesus, who want to change the world, but have become almost hopeless because they don't know how to get their own hearts to where they're healed enough that they can reflect Him. So the Lord, in His magnificent way, offered Jim a new job in Colorado, to which we turned down several times. And finally, he got a nudge, and we went out there, and he got this awesome job, and we were doing our thing, and we were still reading everything we could get our hands on. We were just reading and reading, and all of a sudden, we go to this church that we were told not to go to because it was kind of a crazy church, because there was a missionary that went to Mexico and got hit on the head with a coconut, died, and went to heaven. And then came back. And we were like, cool. That's neat, you know. Well, the truth was, he did get hit on the head with a coconut. It didn't kill him. And then another one did die and go to heaven and come back. But, you know, when you put it all together, it's a really neat story. It makes you really weird. So we went to this church, because that's kind of how, you know, you'd say, don't do it. And we're going, why not? Let's see. Well, that was what got us in trouble a lot before. So we went. And on that Sunday morning, the pastor said, we are so glad to have Darren Carmack here. Darren travels a lot and has his radio program, but he is here today in his home church. It was the man we had listened to on the radio. We had no idea it was his church. None. But God did. We got to work in his ministry. We got to learn from him. We got to be mentored by him for a while. It was God's plan for us. So for the last 33, 34 years, we have spent our lives before the Lord to say, would you just teach us? Just show us. You know, and because maybe, I don't know, maybe we're slow learners. But we've studied everything we could get our hands on. And we've had an amazing time do it. We ministered out of our home while Jim worked at full time, in electrical engineering for years. And then about 14 years ago, through some circumstances that changed, we had a choice. We could go back into the workforce, or we could do this full time. And the Lord said, well, do you want to trust me, or do you want to work in the world? He didn't care. He just said, it's up to you. And all we knew is we had to keep doing this. That's what we knew. Because we couldn't help when we saw what was happening in churches. And we saw pastors who were overwhelmed with broken people. And there was nobody to help them. And we said, Lord, if we can equip the body to do the work of the ministry of healing the broken hearts, raising them up, then that's what we want to do. So that's what we've been doing. So we were in Asheville, North Carolina. At that time, we set up a healing room in a small church there. A church maybe ran 200, maybe. And every Thursday night for 7 years, there were about 40 people that would come and minister in the healing rooms. And we just had a flood of people come through. Physical healing, emotional healing, mental. It was amazing. It was just an awesome time. Well, we raised them up to where they didn't need us. You know, and that was good. They were perfectly capable. But boy, you know what? When they were started, they were like, When one of the ladies came in when we got ready to release them to work, you know, to work on the church, she said, okay, well, now I've got my checklist here. Because I've been through this training, and we go through this and this and this. And she said, so I'm going to use it. I said, no, you're not. She said, well, yes, I am. I said, well, no, you're not. And it kind of went back and forth. And I said, look, if you don't learn anything else from this ministry, you're going to learn that you can hear the voice of God, you can follow him, and you can help others. Okay. So she put it down. She went in. She ended up being absolutely one of the best leads, now runs one of the main ministries there with sexual brokenness, hears the voice of God, ministers clearly. It's amazing. And most of these people were over the age of 50 or 60. So they started late in life. So you're never, ever, ever too old to learn to heal the brokenhearted. Yeah. It's true. And here's the other thing I want to say about that. The husbands came with their wives. I'm not sure if it was a threat. But they came with their wives. For a while, they didn't do anything. They just sat there. Because you know what? Sometimes just a man's presence says there's a man that cares about me enough to give up his Thursday night to be here. And men and women need that. But after a while, they got bit by the bug, and they learned, and they became leads, and they became ministry, and then a couple of them started doing it downtown at the rescue mission. So it's catching. But what is it? That's the question. What is it really? Because I want to tell you something. Inner healing has gotten a bad rap. Because like anything else, people can take it and do stupid stuff with it. Right? You know, we can take things and really mess them up. We really can. Good things and mess them up. And you know what? There have been some people that have messed it up. Jesus isn't really concerned about that. Did you know that? We are, because, you know, it might reflect on me. But he's not really concerned because we've messed his stuff up since the beginning. So he's kind of used to it, right? Yeah, he is. But here's the deal. In our definition, when I talk about inner healing, here's what I'm talking about. The sanctification process. It's nothing more than becoming like Jesus. It's nothing more than removing everything that's getting in my way of looking like him. How about that? Who doesn't want that? If you're a born-again believer, you want that. And if you're honest with yourself, you will now say, well, I probably need that. Because some of you came in thinking, well, I'm not sure why I'm here, and I probably don't need what they have, because I've walked with the Lord for this long, and I've known him this way, and I've done this. But the truth is, if we don't look like him right now as he did when he walked on the earth, then we need it. And if you look like him, then you're doing what he did, which means you're healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, and feeding the multitudes, and doing all the stuff he did. Well, at this point, there's only a few people I've heard of in the world that are able to do a whole lot of those things, which means we don't yet look like him the way he wants us to. Okay? Okay. So can we all agree we're all in the same boat? We're all in the same boat. We all need to be that piece of, I don't know which one of the artists it was, the sculptors that said, they said, how do you sculpt that? And he said, I just chip away everything that doesn't look like what I want it to be. Right? But here's the cool part. The Lord, in his mercy, has given tools to his people to help you. To help you begin to peel those things away. Peel those things away. Because there are some of you, your heart looks like a shattered, glued together piece of something that you don't even know what it is. Have you seen those candelabra things that hold the candles and they're all little pieces of different color? And that's what many people's hearts look like. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh for a heart of stone. And I think part of what that means is I'm going to go into your heart and I'm going to soften all of those scars, all of those places where your heart's been wounded. All of those places that have grown calloused from rejection, from wounding, from abandonment, from loss, from premature death of loved ones, from addictions, from whatever, that have scarred our heart to where we don't feel anymore. Do you realize we have a nation of people who really don't feel much? They generally feel one of two things, extreme anger and rage or extreme depression. That's what we're seeing today. You know why? Because we have ignored, we have not shown how to live from a heart that's full of life, that's full of love, that's full of forgiveness, that's full of the joy of the Lord, that's full of wholeness, that can say, yeah, I've been broken. Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's hard. I know. And yeah, I've done that. Jim and I used to tell people, there ain't anything we haven't done ourselves, done to ourselves, had done to us, done to somebody else, or heard somebody that's done it. So, okay. But you know what? He loves me. Jesus really loves me. So that's why we do what we do. So this weekend is going to be kind of a combination of things. I'm going to talk to you about the first element that you're going to have. You see, we don't want to just get a little thing fixed in you. We want you to know how to get established in who you are. In who you are, so Jesus can be who he is through who he made you to be. Because we talk about dying to self, and so we think, well, we're all going to look alike. I'm just going to become this. And we're all going to look alike, and we're all going to dress alike, and we're all going to act alike, we're all going to think alike, and it's just going to be Jesus out there, and he's just going to walk holy, and he's just going to go and do all this stuff. And he's going, oh, that bores me. If you don't believe it, look at his disciples. Yeah, because you see, he created you, your personality, your looks, your likes, your dislikes. He created me with 1,000,002 words per second. He created Jim with 2 per second. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Why? Because it's okay to be different. But until I understand that who he made me to be, even when I've screwed up royally, Even when I've had a broken heart, even when I've broken hearts, even when I've sinned grievously against him, he still likes who he made me to be. And because of that, the more I agree with who he made me to be, he can now say, now let me show them who I am through you. What a deal, right? I mean, really. But you know why he can't? Because we don't know who we are. I mean, we know, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Anybody ever quoted that scripture? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am, right? And we try to convince ourselves. We try to convince ourselves of it. And it's sad, guys. What about this one? I have everything I need pertaining to life and godliness. Do you? Does it feel like it? Is it true? Well, spiritually speaking. Why? Because we'll cop out. There's so many scriptures like that that we have just taken and put over here because they're not reality in our lives. And we've spiritualized it because we don't have the evidence of it. And Jesus is saying, no more. No more. I want the broken. I want the outcast. I want those who think they are so stinking broken they could never do anything for Jesus. He said, I want them right now because they're going to grab hold of this thing. And when they do, they're going to look at people and go, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because this is who I am and guess who lives in me? And guess what? He doesn't care what you think about me because he cares about what he thinks about me. And that's what matters to me. And guess what? I just laid hands on somebody and they got healed. And guess what? I just prayed for a miracle and it happened. And guess what? He likes me. That's what this weekend is about. But some of us are so focused on our pain and our brokenness and our situation, we've lost sight of him, the power of who he is, the incredible love of who he is. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm just going to kind of set the stage. We are going to do ministry at the end over some things. And then in the morning, we're going to do some more activation, more praying over you. It's kind of going to be like layer upon layer. Okay, and then tomorrow night, Jim is going to speak entirely, and then at the end, he's going to minister the trauma prayer over you. How many of you have heard the trauma prayer? Yeah, a lot of you. If you haven't, you will. Okay, it's online. You can actually go to traumaprayer.com. You can go to our website, which is houseofhealingministries.org. It's a free download that's on there. You can go to YouTube. You can go to YouTube and do Jim Banks Trauma Prayer. And it's just simply a teaching and a prayer process that God gave him that is setting hundreds and literally hundreds of thousands of people free. They go to sleep by it at night. It brings peace. And so it brings physical healings to many people. It many times will kill a tormenting dream. It brings peace. So that's going to be tomorrow night, so you don't want to miss that. But we made sure that I started tonight so you wouldn't miss me either, because if he prayed tonight, then you wouldn't come back. So, here we go. I was asking the Lord about the whole identity thing. And I'm one of these people that if I have a question in my mind, it just kind of gnaws up in here. It's kind of like it just kind of... like that, you know, and I can't let it go. And I may ask somebody, and if they're not thinking in the same box I am, the answer they're giving me is never going to satisfy me. And so for maybe 7 or 8 years, I've been kind of thinking about the fall and the Garden of Eden. It's just been kind of one of those burrs in my saddle that just, it's like there's something I'm missing. Now, I'm sure there's multitudes of scholars that fully understand all that happened, and they could do a theological treatise on this much better than I can. But I want to, if it'd be all right, I just want to kind of paint the picture I have of what happened in the garden. Now, I'm going to say, would that be okay? But it really doesn't matter because I'm going to do it anyway. So, but understand, this is how God just kind of showed it to me. All right? So I want to ask you a question. This is really important. I want to know which came first, the chicken or the egg? Okay, we've heard that, right? Well, as creationists, we believe the chicken because he created and then it recreated, right? However, let me ask you this. Which came first, Eve's doubt of herself or her doubt of God? Doubt of herself or doubt of God? Picture the garden, would you? You've all heard teachings about the garden. We've all thought about it at some little point, or when we were in Sunday school, we saw pictures. But evidently, it was an incredible place, and it must have been huge because there were all the animals there. Have you been in a place where all the animals were making a noise at the same time? It is not a quiet, serene, still place. It is full of life. It's full of smells. It's full of sound. It's full of all of that. And that's where God put them, man and woman. He put them in the middle of all that life, all that chaos, in a good way, not a bad chaos, a good liveliness, energy, all of that going on around them. And it says, and they walked with him in the cool of the day. Well, if I walk with somebody and talk with them, they're generally fairly close, especially without my hearing aids. They're walking real close to me. So we know there was an intimate relationship there, but we don't know how long that went on, do we? Anybody know how long it was from the time they were created till they had the fall? Nope, we don't know. But I would be willing to say it probably wasn't the next day. Okay? It probably wasn't, okay, he created them and they fell. No, there was a relationship that had been built and established. And how was it done? It says, God is spirit and he created us in his image. What does that mean about us? We are spirit. So when the New Testament says you are to be sanctified holy, it says spirit, soul, and body. That's order. Our spirit, our soul, and our body. But you know what? The Western church doesn't like to talk about the spirit. Not the spirit of man. That's New Age. You know, bless God, I'm just getting my soul healed and getting my mind renewed. And I'm taking the scriptures and I'm doing all this and I'm memorizing and I'm praying and I'm thinking. And yeah, the Holy Spirit's the one we want to talk about because, you know, if we're going to talk about it, because that's all we know. But the word says, I am a spiritual being. And that those who worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe that means from where I am in here, my spirit man will worship him and my mind will worship him in truth. The whole being will worship him. So they're doing this, they're doing their thing. You know, they're walking, they're talking, Adam and Eve are getting to know each other, enjoying each other, listening to the animals, the birds are singing, the flowers are growing, the mist is coming, all of that. They're having conversation with, who knows, they may be having conversation with the animals. I personally think they were. I think they were probably conversing. I don't know how they were conversing, but they were conversing. Otherwise, I'm sorry, but she wasn't stupid. Didn't just all of a sudden the snake walk up to her and say, hey, girl, you know what? If snake walks up to me and says anything, I'm out of there. Real? Isn't that true? It is. But somehow we have this thing in our mind that just all of a sudden he appears and says, has God really said? And she falls, you know, and she's like, I don't know. Well, maybe not. Let me eat of the tree. You know, I think there had been an ongoing conversation. And here's what I think it sounded like. Are you really enough? Well, doesn't it feel like you don't know enough? Well, if you were enough, why would there be this over here? Well, are you really think you're like God? Really, you really think that he made you like him? And this conversation began and probably started out fairly confident in herself. Well, yeah, bless God, I am. But you know what? He just kept poking. He just kept, are you really? No, really? Come on. Yeah, man. And as soon as she entertained the question, am I really enough? She opened the door for the enemy to say, is God really good? Is God really good? Does he really care about you? You know, really, he is good, but he knows you'll even be better if you'll just eat of the tree. One of the major issues we deal with in our lives right now is I can't possibly be enough because you don't know what I've done. You don't know what all's been done to me. You don't know who I am, because if you did, you would know that I am right, that I'm not enough. And therefore, how could I ever believe that he would want me for himself? Do you see how subtle that is? And yet it permeates all of us. It permeates everybody in the world. Everybody in the world struggles with that. When it finally comes down to it, it's this feeling of I will never be enough. So what has the world done? Well, if you will, this is the world inside the church. If you just read your Bible, if you'll have daily devotions, and you need to journal, I mean, you got to journal every day, because if you don't journal, you know you're going to forget what God said. You got to, and you got to go to Bible study and Wednesday night church, and you better be out on the Love New Braunfels Day, or you're, bless God, you're going to hell. You know, I mean, and really, and you're going to do this, and you're going to, and you got to do this, and women, I mean, women, come on, sit down and be quiet. We have. Why? Because it's all about the external. We've made it all about the external. And Jesus is saying, don't you understand? I've come to heal your hearts. It's all about the internal so that the internal can become eternal. Hey, that was pretty good, wasn't it? I just thought it's all about the internal so the internal can become about the eternal. That's true. Because, guys, who he's made you to be, I don't care what you've done. There's some of you that are even wondering why you came tonight. Because when you came, you didn't think there was a chance in heaven that you could be healed. And I'm here to tell you, you will be. That if you will press in to what he's saying to you tonight and let him grab hold of you, he will show you there is not one thing on this earth you could possibly do that is greater, that is stronger, that is more powerful than the love that he has for you right now. Nothing. Nada. Nothing. Some of you say, well, if I just had, you know, if I just had a better job, you know, if I had the perfect job, and, well, if I was married to them, if I had a perfect husband, anybody ever wanted, never, don't answer that, because we all have perfect husbands, right? If I just had the perfect spouse, well, if my kids would just behave, well, if I had the perfect, and we keep striving for this perfect thing that we never can reach. And we think, if I could just be perfect, then I could have it. But you realize that Adam and Eve had everything perfect. They had a perfect home. They had a perfect job. They had a perfect spouse. They had perfect food. They had perfect everything. And they still chose to disobey a perfect father. So, for one thing, you need to realize you don't have an excuse. that's good enough to keep you away from him. You don't have one. He's there. He's waiting. And he says, nope, none of you are going to read it. But here's what the world's done, outside the, as well as the church. Work harder, strive harder, perform more, be more, do more, show more, act right, do right, make money, have a good family, get a career, get a job, do this, do that. And you got to measure up, measure up, measure up. It's a world of measuring up to everybody else. Even if you're a failure, you're measuring up to somebody else. You're the biggest failure. No, I'm a bigger failure than you. You know, we got to win at something, so we'll win at being the biggest failure. Because this drive for perfection that makes us think if we can get it, then the pain will go away. And Jesus said, don't you see that they had perfection? And it wasn't enough. But here's the deal. The Father said before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. He made provision. He made provision before they rejected his perfection. Mind-boggling, isn't it? I mean, that in itself could open up a multitude of questions. You know, well, why would he do that then? I mean, why did he let him sin? Anybody ever said, God, why'd you let that happen to me? Yeah. Well, you could say, why did he let it sin then if he knew they were going to sin? Because he loved them. You're going to go, what? He loved them, so he let them sin? Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you see, love that isn't based on freedom is control. It's control. But his love was so great. His love was so great. He gave them the freedom to choose. And what he's saying to you tonight is, I don't care how broken you are. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. I don't care how much you like worship and how much time you spend in worship. Because you know what? You can spend hours and days in worship and still not be intimate with the Father. You can have a good time and you can feel intimacy. But the only way you're going to feel intimacy with the Father is in here by having your heart changed to look like him. You've got to have that intimacy. You've got to have that transparency. And out of that will come your identity of who you are. Then he can say, let me tell you now who you are. Now that you and I are good in here, now that there's that place where you know that I love you and you are worthy to be loved and you are worth loving and you are amazing and I am not holding anything against you and I love you, let me tell you who you are. And when you understand who you are, you're going to be transformed. You're going to be changed. And then you're going to begin to change the world. Everything we have done, we learned all of these tools to heal the brokenness, to help people find out the places that were broken, to find out the lies they were believing about themselves, about other people, about God, about the way the world works. We found those tools. We understood that. That's part of inner healing. We all believe lies. Why? Because the Father of lies has been telling us lies our whole life. So it was how to help them find the lies they're believing. How to help get rid of trauma out of their lives. Because, guys, we have a traumatic world. We spent our time doing that. We've trained people to do that. We believe in that. But here's what we found. If it's not focused on bringing you to understand who you are and who he is in you, you won't be able to maintain and you'll continue to look at your wounds. You'll continue to stay a victim. You'll continue to think that you're too broken. You'll continue to have other people prop you up for your, you know, for your own well-being or your own ego or just to have your own stuff around you. And God says it's time for that to be done. I'm going to heal your heart. I'm going to get you with people who can expose the lies, who can heal the wounds, who can bring this stuff in and bring you right on into a knowledge of who you are so that you can stand and let him shine through you. And when that happens, the world will be changed. Because that's what happened with the disciples. That's what happened. They came to an understanding of all that Jesus had taught them. Bless their hearts, you know. You think, well, bless God if Jesus was here with me. No, they were just, you know, they were dumb as rocks. They were. I mean, they walked with the Son of God. They did. Just walked with the Son of God. I'll go to the cross with you. I'll kill for you. And he's like, oh, brother, come on. You know. And, you know, there's times I'm going, in fact, this kind of a funny story. Do y'all know who Joyce Myers is? Yeah. She told a funny story one time. She said that her kids were working for her ministry and they were bickering and fighting. And she was frustrated and she was crying out to the Lord, Lord, do you know how hard it is to work with your children? And she heard, yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah, we're just a bunch of kids. We're just a bunch of kids learning how to play in the playpen. That's really all we are. And he's saying, that's what I have for you. But you see, here's what's happened. The world has built this system of life around us. A system of how life is supposed to work. And it is the world system. And we have been raised in it. We gauge everything by it. Our belief system is structured by it. Our churches are run by it. Our education system promotes it. We raise our children in it. All according to this system of the world that is based on lies. And it's perfection. Striving for the best. And part of healing is coming out from under this world system. So I've asked Jim. He's spent time studying on this. And he's written a book, actually over there, called The Insidious Dance, which is talking about perfectionism as the silent killer to life. And I've asked him if he would just have a minute to share with that, but then to pray over you, a prayer that God gave him to release all of us, to begin to set us free from the system of the world, if you want to be. And it is entirely your choice. So if you don't want to be, you can just sit here and smile. It's just fine. Okay? But I believe this is the beginning of what's going to happen this weekend. He's going to remove this dome over us that lets us view everything and hear everything the way we've been trained to hear it by a system that is anti-kingdom. It is anti-kingdom. It is anti-Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. It is, Father, your kingdom is up there. I'm down here. I'm going to do what I want until I see you up there. Okay? So tonight it's going to be real simple. I'm going to turn this over to him. We're going to do that in the morning. We're going to get a little more personal. Okay? Now nobody's going to have to share any of their stuff. But we're going to come into more personal release. You're going to see how easy this is. We believe that every person in the body of Christ should be able to help someone get free to some degree. Men, there ought to be a way that you're with your men in the workplace that is struggling with pornography and you can say, you know, I can help you with that. Or they're struggling with addiction or they're struggling with something else. And you ought to be able to say, you know what, I know somebody that can help you with that. Would you just do this with me? And I'm gonna stand beside you while we do this. And we're going to walk this out together. Instead of going, oh, we don't talk about that, brother. You know, that's just the way we are. It's possible. And then tomorrow night, he'll talk on trauma, which is huge. We're going to release that. There's going to be many of you healed, really healed physically, mentally, emotionally. And then Sunday morning, it's going to culminate with, now how do we finish well? So it's going to be a good time.
It's amazing. Now you know what caught my heart. This prayer is written to be prayed in the first person. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, since I'm going to be the one praying it for you, I need your permission to pray it in your behalf. Now, this is kind of scary because you have no clue what's in this prayer. But I promise you it's good. It's basically a renouncement of the kingdom of this world, of the system of this world, and many of the ways that it operates. Because what the enemy wants you to do is to become the god of your own life, to manage your own circumstances, to determine what you will engage and what you will not engage, because I have studied what will hurt me and what won't. And I've measured everything. And that's the way he wants us to live, is out of your head rather than out of your heart. And so what we do as individuals is we go through life amassing a whole bunch of rules and regulations about how to achieve success, how to avoid failure and manage the risk of the things that we have a tough time assessing. Paul said, I didn't know death existed until I knew the law. And for most of us, the misery that we live under is that we don't even meet our own expectations. Because the rules that I've created that I have to follow are all perfection. And I'm a human being who makes mistakes. Now, each of you is totally aware of where you don't measure up. We know when we mess up. We know when we fail. You know, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment of them all? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, we have learned by the system of the world that you don't judge, you don't be mean. You may be able to cut people off on the interstate, but you have to be nice to people. And yet we are never nice to ourselves. You make a mistake and you beat the tar out of yourself. Jesus is no more happy if you do that to your neighbor and do it to you. It sounds trite, but the Lord wants you to treat you better than you've been treating yourself. He doesn't judge you. He doesn't remind you of your mistakes. He doesn't throw all of your errors up in your face. And when you go to him, you don't get anger. And yet that's what we do to ourselves. So this is one of those things of, I'm going to lay down all those rules and regulations. And this may sound horrible to some of you. I'm going to ask you to give yourself permission to mess up, to not get it right, to make mistakes, and treat yourself better. You buy that? Okay. So I'm going to ask you, and you have to give me a hearty, I agree. Jim Banks, I agree to let you pray this prayer over me. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to take inventory of how you feel right now. Because as I pray this, some of you are going to feel something. Some tension, some little surprise, something that the Lord wants you to remember when I read this thing. I need to look at that point. I need to pray about it. I need to investigate it. I need to ask him, where am I doing that? Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I just take authority over anything that will not bow its knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ from participating with us this evening. This is between us and you alone. Father, on behalf of everybody assembled here, I pray this prayer. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I ask your forgiveness for coming into agreement with the system of this world, the teachings of the enemy himself, for adopting his values, his system of weights and measures. I repent for making myself the God of my own world and believing that I can control my circumstances and dictate my own outcomes. Forgive me. In the mighty name of Jesus, on behalf of myself and my entire bloodline, I break, shatter, cut off, and destroy all agreement with perfectionism, performance, and the system of this world. On behalf of myself and my entire family line, I renounce its teachings, its principles, its rules, its regulations, and any of its authority in my life and those of my family members. I ask you, Father, to break any and all curses from me and from my generational line that were established because of our agreement and participation with this iniquitous system. I ask you, Father, to disconnect me and my family line from any demonic entities that have been assigned to us as a result of our repeated agreements with the system of the enemy. And will you cancel any demonic strategies that have been planned against us to hold us in this place? As an act of my will, I renounce and lay down all the rules and regulations that I have amassed over the years that have determined how to achieve success, avoid failure, and manage the risk of potential failure. I choose to no longer live by slavery to the law and its curses, even if it's ones I created. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I choose to now live by the law of life in Christ Jesus. I ask that you show me every habit pattern that I have created that is built upon the perfectionist system I just resigned from, and grant me the grace to establish new habit patterns that are kingdom-oriented. I ask you to show me every belief system, every paradigm of thought, every portion of my worldview that agrees with the system of the enemy. I ask you to show me where I've chosen to live from my mind instead of through my heart and its connection with Holy Spirit. I ask you to show me every way I have adopted to create value and legitimacy through my performance. I choose to open my eyes to what you show me and ask that you grant me insight into every principle that I have adopted. I ask that you grant me the grace to make different decisions, all of which agree with the precepts of your word. I ask your forgiveness where I have been so bold as to establish my own values, my own understanding of right and wrong, that accommodated my flesh and my self-will. I willfully declare that you are right and I am wrong. Teach me your ways. Henceforth, I choose to grant myself the grace to fail, to not get it right, to make mistakes. I loose myself from fear of failure and renounce any allegiance I had to that spirit and its rule over me. I take that ground back and give it to the Lord Jesus Christ for him to rule and reign over. I break, shatter, cut off, and destroy all allegiance to a critical spirit. I command you to go from me now I ask, Father, that you restore to me the spirit of joy that I gave up when I embraced this ungodly system. I ask that you restore my sense of humor and the ability to laugh at my own mistakes and to not take myself so seriously. Teach me how to play again. I choose to live free of all the self-condemnation and self-imposed guilt and shame. I will no longer accuse and abuse myself by continually rehearsing where I blew it, where I could have done better, where I made a mistake. As your word declares to me, life and death are in the power of the tongue. I will henceforth guard my mouth so that I continually speak only life over myself and my affairs. I break, shatter, cut off, and destroy all allegiance to a spirit of self-hate. I command you to go from me now, and I repent for agreeing with the enemy that I was not worthy, not valuable, not lovable. I choose to agree with you, Father, that what you made was good. Forgive me for thinking otherwise. I also choose to believe that what you say about me is true, above what I have been taught or learned while I was under that system. I choose to forgive my father and my mother and any other authority figure in my life for disappointing me, for not treating me as though they should, even for abusing me and mistreating me. I forgive them for not accepting me as the gift I was to them, for not accepting me as I was, for using me as though I was property to do with as they pleased. I ask you, Father, to forgive them as well. I repent for any judgments that I made against them, and I cancel any vows that I made that said I would not be like them in any way, nor model their behavior. I ask your forgiveness for dishonoring them. I ask your forgiveness for shutting my heart down and believing that I could defend myself from experiencing more heartache on my own terms. Forgive me for taking matters into my own hands, rather than depending on the power of your spirit to heal and nurture. I choose to once again open my heart to live. Father, where I have shut down my ear to you and damaged my ability to walk in all you created me for, by dependence upon myself, I repent and ask you to restore me to full functionality once again. I ask you to restore any damage done to any portion of my body while I was under the spell cast by this system. I ask you to once again draw the line between my natural mind and its instincts of self-preservation and my spirit, so that I may quickly discern the difference between what is your way and those of my own devices. I ask you, Father, to restore to me the blessings of my family line that I and my family have foregone as a result of participating with the system. If there are any purposes that you had in your heart for me and for my family line to achieve that were thwarted by our allegiance to the system of this world, I ask that you renew them, call them forward, and I ask that you grant us the grace and impart whatever gifting is necessary to complete them, that nothing you desired would remain accomplished, unaccomplished by me or my family line. Father, I thank you for hearing our prayer. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would remove every ungodly entity from every family line that has thwarted the favor, the healing, the relationships, has stolen from them identity, purpose, and destiny. And I ask you, Father, that you would reestablish every godly entity that is necessary for them to fulfill the purpose for which they were created. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless them. I bless them with health. I bless them with peace. I bless their pursuit of you. I bless their relationships. I bless their finances. I bless them with mental and spiritual clarity. But most of all, Father, I bless them with all the love that their hearts can hold. And I bless them with a perfect picture of you. I bless them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Spirit. For they are worthy of blessing. Amen. And amen. The Mass is ended. You may go in peace.
Would y'all just give honor to what God just did? Thank them for... I don't know why I have the mic right now. God's still talking. So 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, we'll have coffee ready for you guys. Bring your friend with you. We're going to be posting these online at the next part of this week, so you can go back and really listen to it. And that's be one thing I'd encourage you to do, is that many times, especially with healing, that you can get layer after layer after layer of what's happening. But bring somebody with you. 9 a.m. tomorrow. We'll have 6 p.m. tomorrow as well for our last session of the evening. And just let me pray for us as we head out of here, okay? So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've been breathing on us, all that you've been speaking, Lord God, all the seeds that you've been planting tonight, God. And we just declare, Lord, supernatural protection, that you'd seal it up, Lord, inside of us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing the enemy could throw our way that you haven't foreseen, Lord, and you've made provision for. And I pray tonight for just deep encounters with you, such a supernatural rest tonight, God, that as we sleep, Lord, we would dream with you, God, we would just rest with you. And as we wake up tomorrow, Lord God, we just know that shift, that something, just like when Pat gave her testimony of something happened, Lord God, that we know that you are doing something powerful inside of us all. And we just pray, Lord, thank you in advance for traveling Mercy's home, and ask this in your name, and all God's people said, amen. You guys have a pleasant evening. Also, too, remember, we will be also receiving more love offering tomorrow, because we really want to send them out with a blessing. But if you guys want to fellowship for a few minutes, please do so. But we will see you tomorrow. Oh, yes, totally. We also have a product table. So I encourage you, too, that Pat and Jim have some of their books. Please come over here. They've got one simple price for all the books. But before you leave tonight, make sure you head over to the product table. Thank you all so much.